Welcome back to 888. We kind of lied. We said we'd have another episode sooner, but this is, for us, pretty good. You know, this is not too long a wait. And look, it's because I'm feeling hungry. And I hope you are too. And yeah, looking forward to another episode of Sydney's finest and best food podcast. Is that a fair summary, Brian?
I would have thought you would have come up with a description that's more definitive and maybe not as debatable. I would call us Sydney's best bromance / food podcast. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's like, yeah. Now that the
Mitch and the podcast with Andrew Levins and Mitch Orr, like that was like a great bromance / food podcast, but they don't really record it anymore. So. I'm happy to make that claim now.
Okay. Well, we're Sydney's best podcast where one of us is recording in a garden shed.
Yes.
That's where we're doing this over Zoom. Brian's in a garden shed. I'm in a room filled with, as of recently, Pearl Jam posters and some great food memorabilia. I've got a Cup I Am, which is like the cubed pineapples from Malaysia. I picked that up on my last trip to Penang, and I've got a Vegemite toast artwork. Some, you know, it's all happening here. And I guess the Pearl Jam posters, like having them there is pretty relevant to what we'll talk about today, because you know, Brian, you and me, I think our bromance did start originally over music as well. So that kind of combination of music and food. And actually looking at this Pearl Jam poster, which is from a concert, and it's actually in the shape of a jam jar. It's kind of a good summary of our friendship.
I'm trying to think, like, when we first would have met. Obviously, I went to school with your brother, and he's, a dear friend. So it would have been in the context of, hang out with him and then hang out with you. I mean, I have a memory of being in your rumpus room, and you showing me like the Pearl Jam live, maybe the touring band documentary.
Yeah, touring band. Everyone I know has had to sit through it once.
It's part of the Tim Higgins orientation, friend orientation.
And that's why you're my only friend. You're the only one who's the only one who stuck around. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's I've done it, and I'll do it out of pity. but yes, I think that's how we first bonded, and then. In terms of the radio and making radio onto SER, I guess our first show together was called Cheap Eats and Indie Beats. So, I guess that was kind of the fusing of the two passions that has led to this podcast eventually. It was there from the start.
What was the remind me of the context of that segment? It was that we would explore cheap foods. Yeah. A cuisine, and then we kind of loosely linked a song in or something, or an artist.
Yeah, like I think the example I remember the best is, I think we did Yum Cha and did kind of a bit of a Yum Cha field guide, and then we paired that with, I think, For the Price of a Cup of Tea by Belle and Sebastian.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was fun times. And that was really fun because that was live in the studio a lot of the time over at Macquarie Uni. So, very much at the core of our creative partnership. It also, interestingly, the name of this podcast has some interesting connections. Like when we first announced it, a friend of mine, Indy, who's a big music fan, thought that we'd named it after a song by The Damned, or that it was a reference to that. The Damned song, they're a kind of a punk band from the 70s. The Damned song is called Neat, Neat, Neat. So she thought that we'd just done a little variation on that, which I didn't know the song before, so nice one, Indy, for picking that one up. And then obviously around the start of the podcast, that's when my first daughter was watching kind of more TV, I guess, and there's a song by the Wiggles called Apples and Bananas, and it goes, do you know this song?
No, sing it.
Oh, it goes, I like to eat apples and bananas.
Oh.
So I don't know, we've not been approached by
Wiggles. Yeah, I was about to say, you don't want to mess with, like, the Wiggles is a big, big, you know, that's big business. You don't want to mess with them.
I mean, I'm kind of happy. I would be happy to be kind of sued by the Wiggles in the same way that I'd be happy to be sued by, like, Dave Chang for copyright infringement, because it imagine means I'd have some correspondence. I'd have a dialogue. So imagine, like, my daughter would be so stoked that Emma Wiggle was going to sue us.
But imagine, like, you get the knock at the door and you open it and there's, like, a dinosaur, there's a giant octopus, like, handing over the papers, your court papers.
Yeah. Henry the Octopus does all the dirty work for the Wiggles.
And then you get, like, tickled by a pirate. It's like, that's your punishment. They're like, we don't want them to go to jail. We're just going to tickle the shit out of them.
Wiggles, the court musical. It could be great.
But I don't know. Next big thing. But I don't know. Yeah. Like, and I guess we then went to, like, I remember us going to, like, a home bush together. Not home bush, a home bake. That's how old I'm getting now. I'm like, and we went to a home bake. You lost your glasses.
Yes.
You were stuck in the middle of a crowd for hours. Good friendship. Do you remember, did we eat any festival food then? Like, that was one of our first, or was it a bit out of our price range? Maybe it was out of our price range.
Yeah, I think it wasn't so much a priority. I think the biggest priority was just getting a bit sloshed and just soaking up the sweet vibes. Like seeing Wolf Mother on their first, you know, after their first EP, like, that was a pretty visceral moment, I think, seeing such a powerful band early on. But in terms of food and festivals, I mean, just trying to think of, like, food festival memories. I mean,
I feel the Hare,
eating kind of
the Hare Krishna.
I was gonna say Hare Krishna food. Yeah, that's super delicious. You get your dal and your kind of cauliflower curry, and then those, is it called gulab jamun, the kind of sweet dumplings, all on, like, a big platter. I remember them being on, like, a big kind of paper cardboard bento box, so they were, like, ahead of the game in terms of sustainable packaging. The only other memory that I have is Harvest Festival one year, and they gave out free bananas, and that was just, like, the best way to start the day. Were you at that one?
I think I was, actually. That is such a nice, that was a great festival. Oh my god, that was such a good festival. But, like, what a nice way to set the tone of a festival. It's like a banana is going to put everyone in a good mood. No one's going to be grumpy. I feel bad things at festivals happened when people are in, like, a bad, like, often in a bad space, or they've been, like, you know, they get tired at the end of the day, or, you know, they've run out of energy and people start getting cranky. But it's like, yeah, just, we'll start you off with a banana.
Maybe it could be part of, like, the drug amnesty scheme. It's like, you hand in your drugs, you get a banana in return.
Yeah, well, I'd probably make the trade. It's a good trade. Nature's
a great banana.
Nature's drug.
I mean, they have to be the right ripeness. I mean, an unripe or an overripe banana is pretty unpalatable. So they'd have to be perfectly ripe bananas. But then, you know, everyone has different banana ripeness preferences, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. Like, I like mine to be, you know, pretty, have a lot of black spots on them. But, really? You know, yeah, some people like them being, like, green. I don't know. It's a controversial topic. But look, we're talking music and food here, Brian. Yeah, it's a pretty common topic, actually. I guess, you know, it's, other than, like, heartbreak and, you know, romance, it's a pretty natural thing to, I feel, sometimes to, well, maybe it's not. Is it a natural thing to sing about?
I was reflecting on, you know, what are the greatest songs are about, or, like, you know, you have all the songs that, you know, yeah, talk about heartbreak or, you know, politics and stuff. I think if there's an artist that lends themselves to the examination of the everyday, or somehow linking the everyday and the ethereal, then I think food gets a shoe in. I mean, there's an album which I hadn't known about before by MF Doom called Food. Oh, yeah. And that's a concept album based around, and this is a quote from him, about the things you find on a picnic or at a picnic table. And then, you know, a reveal went on to say that it was an examination of his obsession with food and supervillainy and comic books. So I think someone like MF Doom has a way of melding the everyday, so something like food, and then kind of making references and allusions to, you know, the other things on his mind, and kind of deeper concepts. I guess the only other big album or band that has been known for a lot of reference to food is Ween. I guess they're like kind of like an alternative indie band from, I don't know, like late 80s, I think. Yeah. The liner notes of one of their albums instructed fans to bring food for the band to their concerts. The liner notes on a subsequent album stated, quote, "Bring us hot meals, no more junk food, thanks." So they must have, I think they just got really crappy food that they kind of didn't want to eat, like junk, just like some questionable kind of cold homemade meals. So yeah, they updated that situation.
Oh, that's so good. I just had this moment, like, you know, one of my favorite bands, My Morning Jacket, I think we've probably mentioned them on the show quite a bit, but I just had this weird memory when you're talking about Bananas and seeing them, of some footage of them doing a cover of Careless Whisper by George Michael. And there's, I think, is there a lyric in that song that kind of sounds like they're saying bananas? Because like they change the lyric to like bananas, and then they started handing out like hundreds and hundreds of bananas to the crowd. Really good. Yeah, look it up if you want a good time. Yeah, My Morning Jacket. There's a video called My Morning Jacket Goes Bananas. And yeah, they just, and he was singing about potassium and like the joys of, he turned a George Michael classic into some preaching about the joys of a good banana. So,
well, he's an incredible guy. Again, visionary and like very inspirational in terms of his view about life and philosophy, but obviously enjoys the culinary side of things. And he also started a blog all about creme brulee, right? Like, you might know a bit more about this than me. I forget, was it with maybe M Ward?
M Ward, I think M Ward and him did a creme brulee blog.
Yeah, I think I looked at it recently. It looks like I think it's on purpose, like a bad looking website.
Some flaming text.
Yeah. I think there's only about 4 posts on it, but I'm glad that it exists. And that, yeah, I just love the idea of M. Ward and Jim James waxing lyrical about, you know, a delicious creme brulee. But speaking of cooking, I mean, what's your MO for like cooking music, or do you like go in with the podcast, or?
Well, do you know what I'm mind blown about? And I'm about to give, like, I have a habit of giving away really good ideas. Like, I'll come up with something and then like a year later, I like hear about like someone making like $100 million off something. And I'm like, God damn it. I really should have acted on that. But I just looked up before we were recording. I was like, there's got to be some sort of site where it's like you put in a recipe and it recommends you a relevant soundtrack, right? Like by looking at the, like, you know, looking at the food or looking at the type of cuisine, you know, if it's a heavy food, you know, you might want something like quite intense music, while if you're like barbecuing something, you might want, this is the ex-music programmer talking. I'm like, I was so convinced there was going to be something like that where you put in the recipe and it kind of just generates some songs. Cause I think it's a pretty, it's something I definitely do. I always chuck some music on when I'm cooking. Yeah, like obviously I think like, yeah, there are some styles of music that go much better with cooking, like as cliched as, you know, cooking to jazz is, I think it does really work well and it's you know, good to have in the background. But then at the same time, I think if you're like, yeah, like if you're frying chicken or if you're like doing something really fun, like, I don't know, like, you know, maybe some hip hop or something that's a bit more upbeat could go well. Or I don't know, if you're doing a stir fry, maybe you want some hardcore punk, like as you're like aggressively, you know, stir your wok. I don't know. Yeah, what, like, but no, I am becoming a little bit too reliant on, I think this is like the negative influence of streaming services, but I'm becoming a little bit reliant on just like hitting shuffle. And then, but I do then often notice like myself flicking songs because I'm like, no, this doesn't suit my my like bibimbap cooking, you know. So yeah, what about you? Do you have any preferences?
I think I usually like I split up my cooking usually into like, yeah, like preparation, mise en place, and then like kind of cooking just like before mealtime. So I think during prep time I'll put on music. And I don't usually do, I wouldn't do podcasts because I don't know. I guess I feel like it's a bit too distracting.
Yeah. I've tried to do the podcast and then like suddenly if your cooking gets too loud, like, yeah, or you've got to put on your range hood fan, like because there's, yeah, like smoke going everywhere, then you miss something and you got to go back and it's, yeah, it's a disaster. Mm. You want some music like that you're not like, you're not going to be, you can't be overly invested in the music. It is kind of a background to what you're, the main thing you're doing. So yeah, mm, like, hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like actually when I'm cooking, I've recently like not listened, like I turned off whatever I was listening to because it helps to kind of just focus on the cooking. Cause I mean, it reminds me of a great episode of This American Life where they spoke to a woman who could tell how a piece of fried chicken was cooking based on the sound. So they played, ooh, her like the different stages of the chicken frying, and she could actually tell which was like, you know, just initially what was the middle stage and when it was done. So actually being able to hear what you're cooking and kind of using your other senses is like super important.
And I've seen this on I've been watching a bit of Great British Bake Off. And it's such a thing. I've never seen so many people like listening to the sound of their cake. Like they put their ear up and as they all do it. It's like, I was mind blown. So it's like, you know, yeah, I can't be like, that's it. I've got to like turn off my A Tribe Called Quest while I'm baking a cake and, you know, put the ear down to the ear down to the cake to check if it's done. Yeah. There's clearly some science to it. Like, or it was just like one person was like, oh, I'm just going to start doing this. And then they, a bit of a chain reaction of people being like, yeah, I also listen to my cake. great band, by the way. Let's give a shout out to Cake. I haven't listened in a while, but yeah, great band.
Actually, I think that they were at that harvest that we went to. They were awesome. Yeah, I think, yeah, it definitely plays a role. It's, yeah, obviously all our senses can influence different parts of our day-to-day life, and certainly in terms of eating, it does as well. So there's research to suggest that restaurant music, it actually increases our food and drink intake, and it also means that we linger longer at a restaurant. So,
well, I think it's like the classic, like also if you're there in a group, like like nicely picked and nice, like a nice level of music fills in the silences, makes people feel less awkward. So yeah, it's gonna work. But then there's also nothing worse. Like I've also left places because of the music. Like there's nothing worse than going on a Sunday morning. Like, you know, you might have had a few drinks the night before, a few too many shardies, and you go to like a cafe at 7 a.m. and they're blasting like trance. And it's like, I have a rule for cafes. My rule is just Erykah Badu or nothing. Like just play Erykah Badu. It works for all times of the day. It's not like, you know, it's still like got a, it's still a, can be a bit upbeat, but it's like just put on Erykah Badu if you're not sure, you know, and everyone's going to love it. Like, so that's my, if you're a aspiring cafe owner, it's something I've noticed. I really, really notice this. And I don't know if it is like you're the same, but I get really bothered by incorrectly soundtracked hospitality venues. Even like sometimes like a cafe I love nearby, like depending on the barista that's on, they clearly have some their own creative control of what they're playing. And you go from one day to the next and it's like a completely different experience because you're like, yeah, sometimes I'm like, if I... You know, I would probably sit in and have a coffee in normal times because they've got like great music on. But then the other day, if the trance is on, I'm probably like, okay, I'm just going to get out of here. Like,
yeah, I think it all contributes to the energy and the vibe. But there's also a kind of a halo effect that goes on. Like, if you think or like if you like the music, then your experience of eating the food is probably gonna be better. And also it I guess gives you a sense of the identity of the barista or the restaurant. It's like, I think one of the first times I ate at LP's Quality Meats, they played like My Morning Jacket. And then so I immediately knew that, you know, that it was a cool restaurant or a right fit for me. So that sense that a restaurant can just feel like going to a friend's house, I guess it's having those things in common.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, I'm sounding like a bit of a, you know, this is me saying you need to play this music. But that's exactly what you're saying there. That's for the places that, you know, that's what creates the enjoyment for me. Like, there might be someone else who wants to hear, like, you know, wants to kick on at 7 a.m. and go get like a, you know, a cup of coffee and a, like, I don't know, a side of Darude Sandstorm or something. It's like, yeah, it's not for me. That's just my preference. You do you, cafes, but if you're not sure and you're worried, just put on Erykah Badu and you'll be okay.
It seems like the safest bet.
I think actually I think Erykah Badu is like, you know how some musicians like have a link with food, like you get I don't know, I'm thinking of, yeah, I think Erykah Badu is, there's quite a quite a few mentions of food in her music. And she's I'm looking it up now, she's quite a famous vegan. So I think she celebrated the Soul Train Awards with a vegan feast. She eats mostly kale salad, avocados, fruits, vegetables, and alkaline water. Okay, but I don't know. Yeah, another one, like I'm thinking of other musicians like that, like Kelis of Milkshake fame. There you go. There's a food. She gave us hints early on in her career, but I think she ended up kind of more turning her focus from music to food. She has cookbooks, and she, I think even was chefing for a little bit in restaurants and stuff, which is just so cool.
Yeah, I feel like that there are common threads between food and cooking and music. I watched the Anthony Bourdain documentary. It's called Roadrunner. I can get named after a Modern Lovers song. But he had a lot of kind of famous kind of musician friends. So friends with Alison Mosshart from The Kills and Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. I think that, yeah, there's something about that kind of creative spirit. I think, you know, professionals or people from both those industries would see eye to eye and connect. I mean, this is going to get a little bit more serious, but I feel like in the pandemic, it's these kind of creative industries, and this is what they share as well, it's the creative industries that don't get supported enough as well. I mean, there's been a bit in the media about artists and musicians not being supported as much as sports people and other industries. But it's really kind of musicians and restaurants and food people that kind of nurture our soul in a time of need. So, it's interesting, those commonalities.
Yeah, absolutely. That's big ups to the musicians who are. I think we are going to end up with some amazing music out of this lockdown, though. I think there's going to be a lot of people spending a lot of time at home and, you know, having feeling a lot of things.
And the same with food, right, as well. Like, I think there's been a lot of pop-ups and maybe chefs that are kind of pivoting and rethinking things. And I think even though it's been obviously a horrendous time for music and food people in particular, I think there'll be some beautiful things that come out of it. So, definitely a silver lining.
Yeah, I'm thinking of I've had a few other food and music things pop into my head. I just want to give a shout out to Sydney's its very own Spod. He now lives in Tasmania, but I think he's done some. I just remembered this great moment. I guess it's more a drink thing, but like he had he got someone, he always has like had some great gimmicks over the time, like security guards and stuff, but he had his whole coffee review thing online where he'd do like these in-depth coffee reviews. And then he was doing shows for a while where he had a barista on stage doing like pour over coffee while he performed, and they would hand out coffee and stuff. So yeah, it's just it's a great match, you know, music and
food. Isn't he making jerky now?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that like a secret? I think it's not a secret.
Maybe. No, I think that was a known thing.
The other thing which we maybe haven't talked about is that you roasted coffee. Are you still roasting coffee now? Or
I still roast it for myself and for friends. Yeah. Like, so, you know, but I was doing it as a like a little bit of a business/project in lockdown last year.
And then did you send him some?
Yep. I sent Spod some coffee and he seemed to enjoy it. He did a coffee review about it, I believe. That was one of my highlights of my life. What do you reckon's on? Okay, here's a good one. What do you reckon like Spod would have in his rider? if Spod, you know, I reckon he would, he would be demanding a 7-Eleven coffee. I don't know. Yeah, maybe, some jerky in the rider.
It depends on what kind of mood he's in. I mean, I think, maybe his recent album or his recent output was a bit more upbeat, but he had a downer phase. So I was thinking just like some low lighting, a towel to like drape over his head, and a 7-Eleven coffee. But yeah, speaking of riders, I mean, it's a fascinating thing about what kind of artists request to be supplied to their backstage area. So I've got a rider quiz for you, Tim.
Ooh, I'm going to fail this, always. But yeah, let's do it.
Okay, number one, this artist requested an inflatable boat or dinghy, 4 confetti blast machines, 3 bottles of champagne, cork only, and 2 medium-sized cakes reading Dim Mac, 2 words, Dim Mac.
Dim Mac. I don't know, Kanye West.
Think about, close. It's Steve Aoki. I don't really know who he is, but he's a big DJ guy.
Yeah.
So hence the confetti, and perhaps not so interesting.
But he would smash cakes on fans' faces. Like it was like there was like this like Steve Aoki fan fetish of getting him to smash a cake up against your face. Yeah. Now.
Okay.
So there you go. Another food. Nice. Yep. All right. Yep. So
Dim Mac was the name. Yeah. Oh, sorry. So Dim Mac was the name of his label. So that's the reason why.
All right. Number two.
Okay. This artist requested Danone yogurt, Haribo gummy bears, Doritos, low-fat milk, a packet of mints, and a bald, toothless prostitute waiting for him in his dressing room.
Oh, God. it's got to be Kanye West.
Solid answer. It was Marilyn Manson.
Okay.
So the toothless prostitute thing was a joke. Apparently, should such a person exist, Marilyn Manson would like to meet him or her. So,
okay.
Yeah. I think this one, if you don't get this one, then I'm kicking off the podcast. A bowl of M&Ms with all the brown ones taken out. This is a classic.
Van Halen, was it?
Van Halen. Yeah, Van Halen. Very good.
Classic story, right?
So you know the story. So they had a really kind of elaborate stage set up. And so that was a test for the promoter to make sure that they paid close attention to all the stage specifications so that, you know, they didn't have a fireworks rig landing on them.
Because it was like safety concerns, right? They were worried if someone missed, you know, if they missed an M&M, they were going to miss a screw that was holding up like a heavy speaker or something, you know, like that's...
Mm.
So, yeah, I remember when I first heard that, I was like, oh, these guys are assholes. But then it's kind of, you got to do what you got to do, right? If you've got high standards.
It's very clever. It's super clever. But also slightly douche move. But this is the rock and roll lifestyle.
I reckon, all right. So let's... things have been going, you know, things are going well for 888. We're about to hopefully get a bit more freedom out of lockdown. We're going to be, you know, we've got a, surely got some tour offers coming our way. you know, playing some regional RSLs, surely. But
what would that even look like? It'd be like us recording on stage.
I think it would turn into
food that our fans have brought us. Yeah,
just turn into like one of those weird YouTube channels where like people eat like shoes. You know, they're like, "Hey, hey guys, like and subscribe. I'm gonna eat this water bottle," and everyone's like, "Yeah, nice." That's a bad part of the internet. Don't go there. But I don't know what we're doing. I think you know, things are going well. We can demand some. We can demand a pretty healthy rider, can't we?
Well. In IBS update news, I've officially been diagnosed with IBS, so it's got to be all low FODMAP food. Maybe we can just be really annoying and request low FODMAP versions of things that are really difficult to make low FODMAP.
Yeah, and then get really angry when they can't achieve it. Yeah. Oh, well.
But okay, in what else? Like what else would be good for, yeah, for podcast live show preparation?
Well, I'd be wanting. I just want like I think like banchan, like the Korean, like give me a big variety of Korean sides, you know, like that I can just nibble on. I'm going through a phase of wasabi peas, so maybe some wasabi peas in that rider. Fried corn. I've also been
fried corn.
Yeah, I found that in like a fruit and veg market recently, like little fried corn kernels. So that's get around it. And what are we drinking?
Maybe like what are we drinking? Nothing too fizzy. Maybe some because that would upset our tummies.
Yeah.
Some kombucha. I'm trying to think like what Australian musician could make us like kombucha. Which Australian Sydney band would we want to demand to make us some kombucha for our show? This is a ridiculous question.
I
don't even know like current.
Surely like Angus and Julia Stone are like already. Yeah. Surely they're already doing it. So let's just get them to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they then have to pour it in our mouths because that'll be like the sign when we've truly made it.
They've got nothing better to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. And then if I like actually was really like, if there was no dietary concerns, I'm like obviously buckets of KFC, banh mi, like just a banh mi stand in the VIP area.
And a bathtub of KFC gravy.
Yep. Done.
Done.
And then we'd never actually get out on stage. I think it would be the death of the two of us. And what a death it would be. But,
we record from the tub.
Yep. That's part of they roll the tub out onto the stage. All right. Well, I think that's another episode of Eat, Eat, Eat. Glad we fit another one in. And yeah, look forward to speaking to you again soon, Brian, and bringing the masses another episode of Sydney's finest food podcast with one guy recording in a garden shed.
Farewell.